Colossians 3:6 says, hallelujah. Listen to this. Hallelujah. It says, because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You know what I noticed, brethren? I noticed that sin makes God angry. Sin makes God angry. Praise God. And I don't know about you, but whenever I am tempted to sin, and I am tempted to sin, amen? Because I'm a human being just like you. And I remember verses like these, I keep on the straight and narrow way. I keep on the straight and narrow way. Amen? Something wants to pull me off, and I say no. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. So, these passages that we just looked at, they tell us that God's wrath is focused against ungodliness. Amen? And that we have got to set ourselves right with God. Now, the second section that I want us to look at, it says, God's plan of salvation required him to direct his anger and wrath at Jesus through his suffering and death. Let me read it again. God's plan of salvation required him to direct his anger and wrath at Jesus through his suffering and death. Amen? Now, in the first section where we looked at the wrath of God, you might have been saying, well, boy, God couldn't be so wicked. God couldn't be so wicked. But God is not a wicked God. This section is telling us that God is a loving God. You know, the other day, my granddaughter, we're talking about God. And she said, I don't like God. I said, what is that? So I said, Amina, why are you saying that about God? She said, I don't like God. I said, why don't you like God? And you know what she said? Because God sent Jesus to die on the cross. In her mind, she cannot understand why God would send Jesus to die on the cross. And I understand that. She'll understand later on. Amen? Yet, on iPad and so on, she's always looking at the story of the crucifixion of Jesus. A video of the crucifixion of Jesus. Amen? So, you know, it's not easy to understand the love of God. It's not easy to understand that, you know, I, a sinner, a wicked person, a wretched person, that God would take his one and only son and send him to earth to die for a wretch like me. That don't make sense. That does not make sense up here. Amen? But that is the love of God. Amen? Praise God. So, guess what? When God does that, none of us have an excuse. None of us can accuse God of being wicked. Because God did everything that he could to save us. He gave us a choice. Amen? Praise God. So, let's look at that. Praise God. All right. So, Romans 5:17. This is a very good study guide, you know. You can get a copy of it, and it's good to the home Bible study, or to invite your neighbors over and share the scriptures with them, or even at your workplace, lunchtime. Amen. You can do a little Bible study. Praise God. So Romans 5:17, it says, for the sin of this one man Adam caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Amen. Simply put, Adam, because of Adam's sin, all humanity was born in sin. And through one man, all became sinners. All of us became sinners. You know, it's amazing. The Bible says that from one man came all nations. Amen. Whether we're Chinese, we're Syrian, we're African, we're European, whatever race we belong to, the Bible says from one man came all nations. And we can't figure that out either. All we know is that we can have blood transfusion between races and no problem. Amen. One blood, one father, we all came from. Praise God. So from one man, because of one man, Adam, sin, all persons were born sinners, and death began to rule over many. Because God's plan for us was that we would live eternally. We were not to die. So the Bible says in Romans 3:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Amen. So through one man, Jesus, it says, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death. I like that. Live in what? Triumph. You don't have to succumb to sin. You don't have to fold under temptation. The Bible says that through Jesus Christ, you can live in triumph over sin. And that's very important. Colossians 2:14. It says, listen to this. He canceled the record of the charges against us. Do you know that under the law, the Ten Commandments, they made you know if you were doing something wrong, and the law found you guilty, but the law could not set you free from sin and the wages of sin. And so every sin before Jesus Christ, every sin that mankind committed, it was recorded. It was recorded in a book. And that record could not have been removed. But when Jesus Christ came, this is what the scripture is saying. Praise God. When Jesus Christ came, it says, he canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. Nailing it to the cross. You know, it's interesting to note that God chose a specific period in history to bring Jesus into the world. And that was the period in which people people were being crucified on the cross. It was not always happening, you know. So during the Roman Empire, that was developed and introduced. And God chose to bring Jesus into the world during that time in history. Why? Because God ordained that Jesus should suffer on the cross, that Jesus should experience the wrath of God instead of you and I. Praise God. So, I've never had a nail driven through my hands or my feet, but I can imagine to a certain extent the excruciating pain and suffering. In fact, that's the most cruel death that a man can experience, dying on the cross. Most cruel death. And Christ nailed our sins as the wrath of God was unleashed against him. Our sins were nailed to the cross. Now, you know, we come to church and we come to the altar and we say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm saved. You know? And we take it very lightly. But Jesus had to experience the wrath of God for the forgiveness of our sins. And we're going to see later on why if we turn back, why it stirs up again the wrath of God against us. Isaiah 53:5. Listen to these words carefully. We're looking at what? The wrath of God being unleashed against Jesus on our behalf in substituting for us. The Bible says, but he was pierced for our rebellion. Crushed for our sins. He was crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. We take so much for granted as Christians. Isaiah 53:10 says, listen to this. But it was the Lord's good plan to crush him. My granddaughter doesn't think it was a good plan. But it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. He who had no sin, he who was the Son of God, God's good plan was to crush him and cause him grief. Why? Because sin deserves the wrath of God. And God chose not to unleash his wrath against humanity so that we could be set free. Says, yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. We, if we are faithful to the end, we are his descendants. Bible says, he will enjoy a long life and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hand. In his hands. Praise God. Amen. So God had a good plan, and that plan was to make Jesus suffer. I pray that, you know, after this, when you talk about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, don't just focus on the fact that he died. You know, he died for my sins. He suffered. He suffered and died. He suffered great pain and anguish for you and I. Luke 22:44. Just before he was put on the cross, Bible says he prayed more fervently. The burden and the agony that he was about to experience on the cross was resting upon him. And the Bible says, and he was in such agony of spirit that his sweat fell to the ground like great drops of blood. I mean, you know, sometimes when we talk about Jesus, we thought that Jesus just went to the cross and just said, all right, nail me up now. Let me just, and it's finished. And that's it. But he experienced great agony. Amen? Great agony. It says that his sweat fell to the ground like great drops of blood. In one Bible commentary, it says, probably talking about the great drops of blood. It says, probably perspiration in large drops like blood, or possibly the actual mingling of blood and sweat, as in cases of extreme anguish, strain, or sensitivity. You see, remember, Jesus was 100% God and 100% man, and in his humanity he experienced extreme anguish, strain, and sensitivity. And it's interesting to know that only Luke the doctor records this. The other three gospels don't record it. Matthew 27 verses 26 to 31, it says, so Pilate released Barabbas to them. Barabbas was a murderer. The people were given a choice. They said, should I release Barabbas, who is a murderer, or should I release Jesus, of whom I find no fault? And the people said, release the murderer. We want to murder the innocent one. Do you know that Barabbas represented you and I? He was set free, although he was a murderer. You and I have been set free, although we are sinners. We have been set free by the grace of God. We don't deserve it, like Barabbas. When I read it first as a child, I said, boy, what a wickedness. But that's the love of God. Hallelujah. He ordered, listen to this. Remember, it was God's good plan that he should suffer. It was God's good plan that he should experience the wrath of God for our sins. He ordered Jesus flogged. In my Bible, it says, with a lead-tipped whip. So you had leather straps and you had lead, pieces of lead tied to the ends of the straps. Maybe, I don't remember how many straps, maybe a dozen or more. And they whipped him with those, with that whip. Then turned him over to the Roman soldiers to be crucified. In verse 27, it says, some of the governor's soldiers took Jesus into their headquarters and called out the entire regiment. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. They wove thorn branches into a crown and put it on his head. And they placed a reed stick in his right hand as a scepter. Then they knelt before him in mockery and taunted him. We should have been there instead. Hail, King of the Jews! Watch this. And they spit on him, the Son of God. We should have received the spit in our face and grabbed the stick and struck him on the head with it. When they were finally tired of mocking him, They took off the robe and put his own clothes on him again. Then they led him away to be crucified. We're talking about the wrath of God being released against Jesus on our behalf. Watch this. At noon, in verse 4, Matthew 27, verse 45, at noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. Now, you're not supposed to have darkness between 12 and 3 in the day. But I believe the heavens could not bear to see the suffering that Jesus was going through. Says, at about 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lima sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you abandoned me?" Amen. Jesus, he felt abandoned in his humanity. He felt abandoned by God as he suffered on the cross for you and I. Question. How can we benefit from Jesus' suffering? How can we benefit from Jesus' suffering? Romans 3:25 tells us, "For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin." Watch this. People are made right with God. Would you like to be made right with God? People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life shedding his blood. It's as simple as that. You are made right with God when you believe that Jesus sacrificed his life to save you from your sins. Amen? Praise God. It says this sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. So people like Abraham and Joshua and Moses and all those persons, God did not judge that generation until Jesus Christ came. So that's why the Bible says that God was being fair. Amen? If God had done it before, they would have all gone to hell. So, we can be made right with God when we believe that Jesus sacrificed his life shedding his blood. Simple. Simple, simple, simple. We believe it and we accept Jesus and we live a life that is pleasing to God. Finally, the wrath of God will be released against those who do not accept Jesus. In other words, if you accept Jesus Christ, you are delivered from the wrath of God. If you don't accept Jesus Christ, the wrath of God is still applicable to you. It's as simple as that. Amen. Revelations 21:8. It says, "But cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft," I beg you, don't get mixed up with Obia. Don't get mixed up with witchcraft. Don't get mixed up with astrology. Don't get mixed up with tea leaf reading. Don't get mixed up with satanic activities. It will send you to hell. Those who practice witchcraft, idol worshippers, and all liars, their fate is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Now, you know, this punishment, you know, to me, I wouldn't even really call it a choice. For me, it's not a choice. To me, it's just common sense. The wrath of God includes being cast into the burning lake of sulfur, and that suffering will never end. You will never die. You can never be delivered from that. I think it's much better to accept Jesus. Much better to accept Jesus. Amen? Because the wrath of God is still there. It's still there, but it is available to those who accept Jesus. It is available to be removed. To those who accept Jesus. Matthew 13:50 says, and this is Jesus talking. He said, throwing the wicked into the fiery furnace. Who is the wicked? Those who rejected Jesus. Where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Suffering. Suffering. Matthew 25 verse 46 says, and they will go away into eternal punishment. Eternal means forever and ever. Eternal punishment is a punishment that will never end. But the righteous will go into eternal life. Who are the righteous? Those who have made themselves right with God by accepting Jesus and what he did on the cross for sinners. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Don't let anybody tell you that all you have to do is just be kind to people and you will go to heaven. The Bible says it is by faith. Faith in Jesus Christ and not by our works. Salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ and not by our works. But if you are saved, the Bible says faith without works is dead. Amen? If you are saved, you will want to work for God. If you are saved, you will want to do good. If you are saved, you will want to help people. If you are saved, you will not be comfortable with seeing your mother or your father or your brother or your sister or your neighbor going to hell and you keep quiet about it. Incidentally, if you are a backslider, I have a word for you. Proverbs 14:14. Write that down. It says, backsliders get what they deserve. Some people might think that, you know, boy, a backslide and nothing happening to me. Well, time longer than hope, you know. Time longer than hope. For God, 1,000 years is like a day. You might say, I've gone 5 years and nothing do happen to me. Look like I'm all right. But Proverbs 14:14, very easy to remember. Proverbs 14:14 says, backsliders get what they deserve. Good people receive their reward. Good people receive their reward. You know, so often I heard about somebody who died. It was on television last week. This woman who died, and she was quite on in age, and she had a lot of fruit trees in her yard, and she would pick the fruit and hang it in a bag on the gate so that whoever was passing and wanted fruit, they could get the fruit. And you know what? They murdered her. Now I don't know what transpired. I don't know why it happened. But you know, I want to tell you something. Listen to this. Don't trust in the good that you do. Some people say, I do good, man, nothing bad will happen to me. Don't trust in the good that you do. Trust in the God who inspires you to do good. Amen. Don't trust in the good that you do, but trust in the God who inspires you to do good. Amen. Some people, they say, you know, I'm a prayer warrior, man. I pray. And because I pray, nothing will happen to me. But I want to say something to you. Don't trust in your prayers. Don't trust in the fact that you pray. But trust in the God to whom you pray. You see the difference? Amen. Don't trust in your prayers. Don't trust in the fact that you pray. But trust in the God to whom you pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then finally, Hebrews 10:29. We've been looking at the wrath of God. We have seen that the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. We saw that it was God's good plan to appoint Jesus to suffer and to die on our behalf. God diverted his wrath from us to Jesus. Say, well, Pastor, supposing someone accepted Jesus and then backslid. Well, let's look at Hebrews 10:29. And Hebrew, the writer to Hebrews here, he's asking us to put on our thinking cap. You know, when you read the Bible, it's good to think. Yeah, man, you're good to think, you know. So he says, just think. Look at your neighbor and say, just think. How much worse the punishment will be for those who have trampled on the Son of God and have treated the blood of the covenant, which made us holy, as if it were common and unholy, and have insulted and disdained the Holy Spirit, who brings God's mercy to us. Amen. So, when you are backslidden, what this is telling me, my understanding is, for the backslider, there is a greater punishment. One version says that it's like you trample underfoot the blood of Christ again. And there's a greater punishment. But if you are a backslider here today, you're alive, you're hearing me, and you have an opportunity to restore your walk with God.